I just slipped through an exam, and you're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Band that we've interviewed. We have Nick of Devil Skin talking to us today. How are you doing today?
Kia ora, guys. I'm doing very well, thank you. How's it over in Dunedin?
Oh, it's so-so, eh?
It's pretty dreary, yeah. To be honest. It's a pretty miserable day. It looks like blue skies behind you, but...
Yeah. It's not the best day. How about you? You must be in Christchurch right now.
Yeah. We've just actually finished sound check here at Christchurch Town Hall, and it was a beautiful day flying in, and I've just looked outside, and everyone is wet. So it's just started raining. So it's a good day to come inside for a gig, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I should probably get some of the details out the way for what this tour actually is. This is Devil Skin's Be Like the River 10-year anniversary tour. And for you Dunedinites listening, they're playing at Union Hall tomorrow. So that's pretty exciting. I suppose we should probably start with the album. It came out, and immediately, back in 2016, it seemed to have been quite a success. It was on the top of charts and such. So it's a pretty big deal, I think, in the New Zealand rock and metal scene. How has it been, I guess, after all of this time's passed? Do you feel like you still enjoy it just as much? Do you kind of get sick of playing the same songs, or how do you feel about it?
The interesting thing about this album is this is our second album that we put out. So our debut album came out in 2014, and that was a really, really big deal for us. You know, it kind of exceeded everyone's expectations. It rose to the top of the charts straight away, and we had no intention or kind of any expectation that that would be the case. So from 2014 until the end of 2016, when we released Be Like the River, it was just a massive whirlwind. You know, we wrote that first album with nothing to lose and everything to gain, and we were just having fun. Mm. And there was, like I said, no expectations or intentions behind it beyond just creating cool music. To see a response the way that we were received kind of with that first commercial release of that album, we kind of looked at each other and went, well, what happens if we really lean into this and really try and, you know, embody our dreams here and try and be the kind of band that we love to go and see live. And it turned into that album. And you mentioned, do we get sick of playing these songs? Honestly, a lot of these songs from this album, from Be Like the River, we haven't played in a long time. Oh. Or there's actually one or two songs that we've never played live ever.
Wow.
Not for any particular reason beyond they're just, you know, we just continue to write. Over the years, we see a lot of the response that the singles get, and we kind of take notice of the songs that people latch on to, and we kind of lean towards that. Not to say that the songs we haven't played yet aren't good, but there's just always been another reason to have other songs in there. So
yeah,
it's really, really exciting. Doing the rehearsals for this tour, we've been looking at each other going, man, we were on something for this album, man. Like, it's just, it's great. Like, Jenny's vocals are just unreal. Like, I always listen to this album now and pay attention to her vocals, and like, she did not give herself any rests or pauses in any of the music. You know, she's just going ham 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So it's been a really cool challenge to kind of revisit these songs, and we're really looking forward to kind of embodying where we were at, like just totally high on life and high on the success of these first two albums and celebrating 10 years of that.
Yeah, well, it's renewed appreciation for your craftsmanship.
Totally.
That's so cool that you get to re-experience that with your fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I mean, I really like the album. There's two standouts for me personally. I really like In Black, the opening track, and Believe in Me. Do you have any particular favorites or... actually, I want to ask, do you have any favorites? And also, what was like the trickiest one to figure out when you were crafting it?
Yeah, I've got some pretty straightforward answers to that. So you gave a correct answer with Believe in Me. That's one of my babies that I wrote on the guitar.
Oh, awesome.
So this album was actually the first instance of me kind of stepping out of the drummer's role and presenting a couple of ideas like on the guitar. So my personal favorites that, you know, just to highlight the songs that I contributed would be Pray, Believe in Me, and Grave. And I think that that really rounded off the track list nicely to kind of have this slightly more modern kind of twist to it, because there's 10 years between all of us in the band, you know. There's a broad, wow, broad range of influences going into our music. So I definitely, I'm the youngest. I come from a much more like kind of modern metal, kind of metalcore, yep, background personally. So just kind of injecting that flavor into the songwriting all those years ago was like a cool turning point for me personally with my songwriting. Songs that were difficult to put together, and the closing track, Limbs, it's this great big long like 5-minute epic with strings and crazy sounds and everything. That song we never played from start to finish in a room together as a band until after we recorded it.
Wow.
So we the term we used was like we Frankensteined the, yeah, song together. Yeah. So we kind of wrote one part and recorded it, and then another day we wrote the chorus, and then we kind of started putting pieces together there. And I think that's how, excuse me, I think that's how the song ended up being so epic and kind of a little bit progressive and a little bit longer in length. And just because we're really kind of exploring things and exploring sounds and exploring ideas. And when you take a song like Believe in Me, we wrote that I wrote that in half a day and presented it to the band. And we kind of looked at each other and went, is it missing something? It feels a bit short. It's 2.5 minutes long. And we just kept running over it. And it felt perfect. You know, nothing needed to change. Mm. Why can't a song be 2.5 minutes long? So not to balance that, but it was equally as fun of a challenge to kind of do some longer songs as well. So yeah, Limbs was definitely the most technical to put together. But a lot of this album was just born the way that we usually write songs, which is get into our practice space and jam together. It starts with a beat or a riff and the energy just bounces around the room.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's interesting, because I was going to ask what the creative process is when you create a song. I think just jamming and sort of seeing where things go, that sounds like a lot of fun. Do you ever have times where you kind of do that for ages and ages, and some days you won't get there, but then other days it's, you know, does it kind of fluctuate? Yeah. Or is it consistently successful?
I guess with COVID, we had to adapt and we started writing on our own and sending each other ideas online and everything, and that's definitely streamlined things because we don't all live in the same city anymore. I live out in the Bay of Plenty and everyone else is in Hamilton, so making the most of the resources that we have, we've started writing in that way, as well as whenever we have the spare time we jump into a room together. But I heard a really cool analogy about songwriting the other day, just touching on the kind of creative processes. One of my favorite guitarists from this band, Loathe, from the UK, their guitarist describes songwriting as, you imagine yourself in a room and it's pitch black. You can't see anything, but there is a window and you can't see outside, and you have a canvas in front of you and you want to paint or you want to create, but you can't see anything. The only time you can see anything is when there's a flash of lightning outside. And sometimes there's one flash, you know, in the night, and sometimes there's nothing, and sometimes it doesn't stop. Whoa. You know, and so you kind of just, it is that kind of lightning in a bottle analogy. But I heard that yesterday, and I've that's been stuck in my head about, yeah, that's really what it's like, because, you know, I feel like songwriting is a muscle that you can kind of train, but you can never ever predict kind of what inspiration is going to come to you as a creative person. It's going to have to be open to seizing any moment or opportunity where inspiration does strike.
That's a really beautiful analogy. That's so cool.
And it's, yeah, holy. It does kind of put things into perspective, eh? Yeah, that's really cool.
I was wondering also, I mean, you've talked about the fact that you guys don't live in the same city, so it sounds like you guys are still writing. Is there new tracks coming out? Can we expect anything?
We always have. So every album that we've ever put out, there have always been songs that didn't make the cut.
Yeah. Mm.
So, you know, for the first, that's how half of Be Like the River was written out of, you know, songs that didn't make the first album.
Oh.
Those are the first songs to get a look. So I think we had roughly 20 songs to go in contention for the first album, and we put, I think, 13 on there. And so we had, you know, half a dozen solid ideas, and that was where we started, and we just kind of built on that. So as far as, like, active songwriting sessions that we've had since our last album last year, no, but ideas have been kind of bounced around, and there are some really, really cool songs that didn't make our most recent album that we really want to kind of do something with, because it feels like a waste, you know, you put all this time and effort in, and it's purely, you know, people just don't buy 18 track albums anymore, you know, it's the only reason we don't do it.
Yeah.
True.
All your lightning. Don't want to waste it. Don't want to waste the lightning.
Yeah, exactly.
It was also, I was listening to an interview, I think, that is it your dad that plays the bass?
Yeah.
That's so cool. I was listening to an interview he did almost 10 years ago now on this radio station, which is pretty crazy. And he was talking about how you guys select your tour locations. And he was saying that in 2017, how he was feeling pretty gutted he couldn't play. You guys couldn't play in Invercargill. I was wondering how you picked them this time, because obviously you've got an even bigger fan base now than you would have then. Can't hit everywhere.
Can't hit everywhere. And honestly, sometimes you got to show some places a bit of tough love when you hit them a few times in a row and you kind of start to see the numbers fading a little bit, or they're just a little bit unstable. And then you just kind of think maybe it's best to just make them a little bit hungry for it. And so, we did leave Invercargill off this run this time.
Yeah.
I'll preface this by saying we never want to. You know, we want to play everywhere all the time. But you have to be realistic about the nature of touring live music in 2026, and not to be that guy, but going to be that guy. Cost of living, cost of gas,
totally
cost
valid,
of flights. Yeah. Everything has just skyrocketed so much, and we're still independent. We don't have any label backing behind us. We do everything ourselves.
Wait, really?
You know,
that kind of surprises me at the size that you guys have gone into. You know, like that's
I appreciate it. Yeah, no, we're proudly independent. We were managed for 13 years, and our manager he just retired about 18 months ago. So there's no bad blood there. He's just relocated overseas to be a granddad, but. We do everything ourselves. My mum's selling merch tonight.
Wow.
Jenny, our singer, is actually married to my uncle, so it's a pretty tight family unit.
Wow, yeah, you guys really are a family. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's pretty special. But, we want to play everywhere all the time, but we also, we had to kind of reside on the fact that a lot of people love to come see us during the wintertime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because summertime's quite chocker with electronic music and festivals and everything. And we're really lucky to play things like Homegrown, and 10 years ago we got to do Rhythm and Alps in Monaco.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And but we want to keep doing that. And then the fact of the matter is that people are going to get sick of it if we come out and perform every 6 months everywhere, you know?
That's true.
It's going to you got to be strategic about where you play. And so this time we decided on a bit of a shorter run, hopefully just to kind of keep a little bit of that hunger and see if there's interest for the summertime, and we can kind of keep ourselves busy for two lots of a month in the year rather than just one solid month of touring per year. And that's kind of it, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, well, next time Invercargill's going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. Now that they're not even
I'm sure it is. Yeah, they're looking pretty feral in the comments.
Oh, really? No.
They're pretty hungry for it, yeah.
It's a short drive to Dunedin. They can come up tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what we thought as well, you know? That's like that we know of a couple of people that are making the road trip tomorrow. So,
oh, nice.
Oh, that's so cool.
You know, we've come all the way from the mighty Waikato and the Bay of Plenty. The least you can do is a quick
drive.
Flat. Yeah, true.
I was also, Dunedin's known for having a pretty cool music scene. I was wondering, do you have openers tomorrow night, and also how do you pick them?
Yeah, so we have a really great band, a two-piece band called The Boondocks. They are performing every show of this tour, their main support.
Oh, wow.
The boys are from Waiuku,
from
Auckland, or Auckland region. And that's kind of like a fuzz rock. They've got a few songs playing on the Rock FM at the moment.
Nice.
Really sweet young dudes. And then for openers, we actually ran a competition to have local openers at every show. We opened up a submission form for bands to fill in.
That's cool.
And we said, look, if you're from Invercargill but you want to come play Dunedin, enter, you know. We didn't pay much attention to, say, someone's trying to call me, sorry.
No, okay.
We didn't pay too much attention to like followers or how many streams they've got or anything. We just checked out all the videos and the footage that the band sent through and kind of judged the bands based on that.
That's
so
awesome.
Tonight we have Powder Shoots.
Oh, yeah,
that,
cool.
That's really cool. That's such a good match for your band.
They're just
sound
right
well.
Now and it's sounding awesome. We've been wanting to gig with them for a long time, actually. Yeah. They seem like really good dudes, but the opportunities just never come up until we get to pick our own. So it's like, hell yeah, let's get those boys on.
That's awesome.
And then tomorrow night we have Pieces of Molly, who are from Christchurch, I think. Our photographer's just has given me the nod of approval. So yeah, looking forward to catching up with them. And then we have just selected our openers for next weekend in the Mount in Hamilton, but that's getting announced on Monday.
Oh, okay.
And it is secret. It's actually, no, I'll just tell you guys now.
Oh, whoa.
Exclusive scoop. We've got a band from Taranaki called Courtney and the Unholy Revelry.
That's a cool name.
That's a sick name.
Yes. Holy. From New Plymouth. They're doing the Mount show. And then we've got this really cool kind of genty industrial metal band called Haast Hunter. They're doing Hamilton.
Haast Hunter.
Wow.
That's cool. Yeah.
And then the last two shows in Palmy and Hastings, we're still going through the list. I think we had 170 submissions,
wow.
170 different bands, and we've listened to every single one, and it's been really, really stressful and hard, which is why we haven't picked the last two. We've kind of gone, we just need to pick the ones for the next weekend.
Yeah.
You know, just get those out of the way first and just work our way through this list.
What a cool way to explore local music and connect with fans of your music. That's such a cool way to honor that.
And we feel kind of, you know, seeing so many submissions, we're kind of like, damn, like we're only doing six shows, like 165 bands have to miss out. So we did end up adding every six, because I got each band to submit like one song from a streaming service. And what we've actually done is made a playlist of every single one of those band's songs, and that's going to be the house music on tour.
Whoa,
so in between all the bands and when people show up to the show and after the show ends, you'll have local music showcasing from the start, the moment you walk in, to your last out the gate.
Wow. That's so cool to see that you guys care so much about these smaller bands and upcoming musicians. It's really awesome to see. I feel like there are some bands that are a bit more snobby than that, and so it's just so cool to see that you guys are so down to earth and that you care about the sphere. And
we have had some opportunities afforded to us that, you know, this American band named Hailstorm invited us to come tour Europe with them.
That's
a couple
crazy.
Nearly 10 years ago now, but we had never played any of those places before, and so no one in their crowd knew who we were at all. And they didn't have to do that. They could have picked any other band, and they chose us just because we became friends when they supported our Be Like the River album release tour 10 years ago. We just got along really well, and that kind of opportunity just like is, it feels really rare, but it feels like kind of easier than people would expect to do.
Right.
Like, I feel like, you know, the commercial touring industry does kind of start to, when lots of money gets involved, you do start to think about like, oh, well, who's getting a lot of radio play? Yeah. Who's going to sell lots of tickets? But, you know, we tour every year. We've done that. You know, we've gone down the road of having bands that get high radio play. We've picked unknown bands. We've run competitions. And we get a real kick out of like meeting new bands and hearing new bands and hearing the next up and coming bands and exposing them to our audience the same way that we have been exposed to other bands' audiences in the past. That's how a community grows. That's how a music industry can sustain itself. That's just one little thing that we can do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's exciting and it's fun. And it's like a little surprise every show, you know, we changing up the vibe every time. Because it can feel a little robotic when we're playing the same songs every night.
Yeah.
You got the same bands every night. So it's cool. It's really fun to meet the new, not even new, but just like other up and coming bands. And we're very aware of how lucky we've been with, you know, radio play and the kind of response that we've had to our albums. There are so many just as deserving bands who just haven't had that kind of opportunity or that kind of luck. So it feels like the least we can do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for talking to us. I understand we've taken up a lot of your time here. I would hate to keep you for longer, but yeah.
You're a good man. I'm chilling. I'm in a room by myself. I got White Monster and a burger.
You're all set. Yeah.
Perfect.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks for the time, guys.
Yeah, and for y'all listening, remember, if you're a Dunedinite, which I'm sure is the vast majority of our listeners, that is tomorrow, Union Hall. I'm sure tickets are still available. Totally get amongst it. It will be a night to remember, that's for sure.
Best of luck with the rest of the tour tonight and tomorrow
thank
night.
Thank you so much, guys.
Sounds
yeah,
amazing.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, can't wait to be in Dunedin tomorrow.
Whoa.
Heck yeah,
hopefully
excited.
The weather's good for you.
All right, see you, bro. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Ooh, have a good one, eh?
You too.
Cool.
That was Nick.
Ooh, sorry. You go.
No, from Devil
Skin.
Whoa.
Thanks, Nick. That's so cool.
What a cool dude.
Oh.
So down to earth, so humble and wise and inspiring.
Yeah. Also, I didn't express... Oh my goodness, something I would have said to him, but I was like, maybe this is a bit of a stretch. So as like Waikato, what's the word?
Sorry.
Inhabitants, Waikato inhabitants?
Yep,
livers,
citizens
of Waikato. There was this school, there was a school road safety thing that was run for the students of Waikato. And apparently Jenny, the lead singer of the band, took a big part in the road safety initiative, and it was Ruben the road safety bear. So apparently she was a Ruben for a while. I would have asked, but I thought maybe that might be a bit confusing if I try and explain it.
Yeah, because if he didn't know about that, he'd be like, what are you talking about?
But dude? Just, you know, showing how they're clearly giving back to the community in multiple ways, and what they're doing for the music industry by using their like openers as a platform, I think is really sick. And oh my goodness, I'm kind of gutted I don't get to watch powder shoots. I've always wanted to watch them. That's so cool. So but yes, definitely look into getting some tickets for them tonight. And it sounds like even if you miss them this year, they might play in Invercargill next year.
Yeah, Invercargill, they better. I feel bad for those Invercargill fans because yeah, they can drive, but who wants to make that huge, it's not even a huge trip, but who wants to make that trip? You know, like it is a bit of a drive. And it would be a shame. But it's really cool to know that there are those diehards that are going to make the trip.
Yeah, the true fans.
The real ones, yep. If you will.
We'll chuck on some music for you. It is 5:26 p.m. You're listening to Radio 1.
It is. We should probably play some Devil Skin, shouldn't we?
Yeah, why don't you find some?
I can. The thing is, it always...
We'll cue it after the next song.
No.
Do you want to play it now?
I think we should play it now. Okay. I think we should play it now.
Well, what else do we know about Devil Skin? If you don't know much about their metal, hard rock band from the Tron, and if you want more information, I mentioned when we were interviewing him that there is a Radio 1 interview from 2017 with him. So that's also really cool to listen to.
Yep.
The bassist talks... I forget his name. But he talks a lot more about... their like history of the band, and he talks about how Nick, his son, started being involved with the band, which is also really cool to hear that side. And then we just got to interview Nick, and he's obviously older now than he was 10 years ago.
Heck yeah.
Anyway, here's right. What are we listening to, Hunter?
This is Little Pills. This is not from the album that they're celebrating necessarily, but I think it's a really cool introduction to the band. It's the first song that I heard of theirs. It's probably the most popular, but it absolutely slaps. So if you're not familiar with Devil Skin, you want to know what they're about, I think this is Exhibit A, you know? So we're going to play that for you right now. It is 5:27 p.m., which means right after this, we can do the gig guide. We'll play a couple of songs, then do the gig guide, I think. So yeah, keep it locked.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast, but find more at r1.co.nz.